All right, let's come to God's word this morning. Yeah. We have John and Liz Cleveley with us. They're from, as Andrew already introduced them, they're from the United Kingdom. And Abdullah and Namrata were based in their church for 2 years. And great. John has been serving the church for now 31 years. Wow. He must have started when he was, I don't know what, very, very young. 10 years old. But we've enjoyed having them at our home and had a lovely evening yesterday. It was so inspiring to hear how this church, Beulah Church in Thornton Heath, started 130 years ago. Wow, from one man's vision of just writing something down on a piece of paper, and how the church has now gone on to reach nations. Yeah. So John and Liz, and we're all part of the same Regions Beyond group of churches across the world. So John, it's lovely to have you with us, and Liz, and we are... Shall we give them a warm welcome?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today is a special day for us for many reasons. First of all, it's the first time we've been to Pune and the first time we've visited this great church. We really enjoyed some time yesterday with some of the core team. And it's nice to be with you here today. So thank you for your warm welcome. As Colin mentioned, we are from Beulah Church in Croydon in London, and we've been there for 31 years. Now, Colin, I was 29 when I went there, plus 31. How old am I?
40.
Chris? Your math is rubbish. Okay, in 5th of February this year, I was 60 years of age, and I'm really pleased to live that long. I can remember being 16 just about. I didn't ever think I would be 60. I didn't know 60 would feel so young. We're living life. It's a great life. It's a great thing to be alive. Boom, 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 boom. Can you turn that down a little bit? I can talk louder if I don't have a boom. I will keep going, don't worry. So today is also special because today is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. And in England today, it's the 11th of the 11th. This is a big day for us because we remember the people who laid down their lives for us. And those who suffered as well, not just directly as a result of being injured, but also those who whose families were shaped and changed because of the war. Colin took us to the Kirky War Memorial this morning, and we walked amongst the graves there and the cenotaphs, remembering how many young men and women from all over the world suffered and died in order to bring us peace. And I often reflect. I put a picture on Facebook this morning of a young man from my hometown, Bristol, who signed up the same day as my dad signed up. They were both 19 years of age. It was 1939. And my dad survived the war. His friend, Kenneth King, lasted to the 17th of September 1939. He was one of the earliest casualties. He drowned with HMS Courageous. And when I reflect back on that, and I remember how people lived, people served, people suffered, people died, so that we could inherit a world and to experience freedom and peace and joy. And we really thank God for the opportunity He's given. So, what am I doing wrong?
Are you using the other mic?
No, I don't mind.
The people who laid down their lives for us. And it reminds us that God has called us to pray for peace so that the gospel can go forth. We remembered this morning that Jesus Christ died for us to bring us into peace so that we can not just live quiet lives, but so that we can share the gospel with people who do not know Jesus. And this morning, I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, I've got many favorite books of the Bible. Yesterday I was sharing from the book of Romans. Today I'm going to share from Ephesians, just the first half of chapter 1. And Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. First thing to say is, this is a letter written by Paul when he was in prison. You often forget that Paul was actually in a really grimy prison, a Roman prison, because he is a liberated man, and the limitations of his circumstances don't always come across. In this letter, it says to the saints in Ephesus. But in many manuscripts, if you look in the footnotes, it says early manuscripts don't have Ephesus. It's probably this letter was a circular letter that went round the churches. And this letter, therefore, you could insert to the saints in Pune. Hey, that's you. This is a letter that was written to you before you were born, and it tells you about your inheritance, about your position in Christ. It opens up a window on who God is, but also who you are. And it tells us some things that are a little bit surprising. In our country, before I get into this proper, because I'm going to follow the slides, I'm going to read. The subject I'm going to teach about this morning is edification through praise. And we're going to read in a moment one sentence. It runs from verse 3 to verse 14. In the English translation, there's full stops, there's paragraphs, but in the original Greek, it is just one sentence. Paul says, blessed be, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Wow, that is some wonderful sentence, isn't it? And one sentence. Father, we pray that you will give us one sentence in our hearts today, and it will change who we are, how we think, what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we go to the next slide, and I think I quoted this same thing about Romans yesterday, but it's actually about Ephesians. Coleridge says it's the divinest composition of man. Next slide. It's the sublimest and most majestic expression of the gospel. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And I want to talk today about edification through knowing who we are. That's really what Paul does in the first three chapters. The first 14 verses is praise. Then there's a couple of prayers in the second half of chapters 1 and 3. Then in chapter 2, he's really preaching. He's building this up through preaching. And then there's prophecy in Ephesians chapter 3. So it's all kind of building us up. He doesn't tell us to do anything. He's just bringing revelation. You know, the book of Revelation is a mystery. People don't understand the book of Revelation, but it tells us what's going on behind the world scene. Okay, you look at the chaos, you look at the problems, you see persecution of the church, you see martyrdom, you see churches in decline. You wonder, what is really going on? The book of Revelation is a revelation. It's an unveiling. It says, behind it all, God is sovereign. He's working his purposes out. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. He's moving towards a consummation when Jesus Christ will come again. You wouldn't know that by watching CNN or BBC. You wouldn't know that by watching Al Jazeera, but you find it revealed in the Word of God, and this is the only authoritative kind of really good news you will find anywhere in the universe. So those things in the first three chapters tell us who we are, and then the second half of Ephesians is exhortation to live godly character, to experience charisma, and then deals with our conduct, moral and social. It tells us about our combat, that we fight within the world. We've got a good fight to fight. And the conclusion of it all is at the end of the book. So there's a few simple outlines. Colin will have these slides available if anybody's interested and probably could find some notes. So I always summarize what I'm going to say in one sentence. Okay, Austin? This is my sentence. Praising God for what he has done in Christ is a great means of building ourselves and one another up. Okay, we've had a wonderful time of praise this morning, and we feel built up. I really like that song about the overcomer. You know, I don't remember all the words. I'm not very good at this, but most of the songs today I didn't know. So I've been introduced to some fresh expressions of praise for God. But when we know these songs and we get them into our spirits, it really builds us up. And that's what Paul is doing. 30 years ago, one of our worship leaders in England set most of this to music. And we used to sing several different songs that summarize this. I would like to encourage you to memorize. Memorize one sentence from the book of Ephesians this week. Read it, reread it, read it again. Try and recite it without looking at it. Then read it and see which bits you missed out, okay? It's a complicated sentence. But if you have it in your mind and if you've got it in your memory and you can call it to mind, then you can begin to really chew on it and get the deeper meaning, the benefit. It will surprise you at times, some of the things that God says. It will build you up. However, it is a complicated sentence, and so I like to give you something simple. Let's go to the next slide. And I always like to tell stories. Now, this lady here, she was a grump. You can see that just by looking at her. Her name was Hetty Green. She lived from 1834 to 1916, and she was an extremely wealthy woman. Okay, she started out with enough money so that she never needed to work for the rest of her life. And actually, it wasn't that she, by the time she died, she was worth 100 million, 1916. That's quite a lot of money. But she was a miser. She did not spend her money. She lived in a house where she did not use the central heating when it got cold. She didn't like to cook food because it saved money. When her son had an infection in his leg, she spent so much time trying to find a good deal at a hospital that by the time she secured it, his leg had to be amputated because he had gangrene. She's very wealthy, but she lived like a pauper. What the book of Ephesians is going to tell us is that we are incredibly wealthy. And many Christians fail to realize the wealth that is there, because in the opening phrases, Paul says, and we can go to the next slide and get rid of that lady. Go to the next one. Okay. Can we go to the next slide and come back to that? Even the next one? There. No. Stop. There, just the word, blessed. Okay, Paul tells us, first of all, we've been blessed. Thank you, Jessica. He tells us we've been blessed how? Well, it's us that are blessed. What's blessed mean? Blessed. It means blessed. Well, blessed means blessed, doesn't it? It means happy, overflowing with everything that you need. You know, and God has blessed us. Who is us? Or how has he blessed us? He's blessed us in the heavenly realms. He's taken us out of just the here we are on this earth, planet earth, here and now, and he's inserted a new dimension, the heavenly realms. Next one. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. How many? Every. Has he held anything back? No. He's given us every what kind of blessing? Spiritual blessing. Wouldn't you like every material blessing? But he has not given us every material blessing, though every material blessing we have comes from him. But he's given us every spiritual blessing. How do we get them? Next one. In Christ. Can you see? It's not very good in this particular slide. There's like a pyramid that he's adding phrase after phrase after phrase. And you could meditate. You could memorize. You could meditate just on those things. We are blessed. It's us. It's not just me. It's us, the whole of us in Christ. We're in the heavenly realms. We've got every spiritual blessing, and they all come for us in that little phrase, in Christ. If you want to get the blessings, you got to get into Christ. Okay? How do you do that? We'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, let's go back a couple of slides. Bing, 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 bing. There we are. First of all, anybody seen The Lion King? Yeah. Is that phrase where, I've forgotten all the names, is it Simba? Simba, his father has died and he's become like an outcast and he's all miserable. He's got his friends, Hakuna Matata, Pumbaa and and Rafiki, is it? Yeah, the monkey. Okay, and there's that moment, that line in the film anyway, where his father kind of appears in the stars and says, you've forgotten who you are. And there's another story I like, it's Cinderella. Michael Griffiths, many years ago, wrote a book called Cinderella with Amnesia. You know the story, how the prince marries her, it's rags to riches, she goes into the palace, and he imagines that, bang, she gets a hit on the head, and she forgets who she is. And so she goes back to the cinders. She goes back to her stepmother. She goes back to her ugly sisters. And he says many times in the church he's met Christians who do that. They forget who they are and they begin to bemoan their state. They begin to think of themselves as just, next phrase, ordinary Christians. Now, Paul is going to tell us in this passage that the word ordinary and Christian don't never really belong together. If you're a Christian, you are not ordinary. He's going to tell us something about who we are that is going to transform us. And there is never anything ordinary, Neil, about a Christian. You might be sitting in the back row this morning, okay, and sometimes we look at people sitting in the back rows, not you, obviously, and we wonder, why are you sitting in the back row, not in the front row? And come in. I give an appeal now. And sometimes people sit at the back or they sit on the outskirts because they don't want to feel that, you know, the front row is for the important people, for the pastor. It's for the people who've got every spiritual blessing. But the people in the back row have every spiritual blessing if they're in Christ as much as the people in the front row. And the people who stand up in front you with microphones have no more spiritual blessing, really. We may have different gifts and calling and roles in the church, but God has set his affection from all eternity. God has sent his son to die for us. This is what Paul is saying. And the word ordinary and Christian just don't really belong together. It's like hot snow. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. Next line. And this passage tells us the truth. Now, there is no clock. How many? 12:15. That's the time we finish, isn't it? What? 15 minutes. Okay, so. This passage tells us the truth. Now, I can't tell you every truth that's in this passage in 15 minutes, okay? But we could list them. We could list them. How could we list them? Well, we could list them alphabetically. We could say we've been adopted, we've been blessed, we've been called, we've been destined, we've been emancipated, we've been forgiven, we've been guaranteed, we've been informed, we've been hallmarked, H-I-J, I've done my... And we've been justified. Okay, there's 10 little things you could pull out. So you could pull it out in that way. But I'm going to do it different. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, here's another one-sentence summary. I can't make my mind up about one-sentence summaries this morning, Austin. But we have been blessed with all we need in the gospel. Everything you need is there. Everything. If you got Jesus and you got the gospel, you got everything you need. If you got everything but you don't have Jesus, you are lost. And ultimately, everything you have will be taken away from you. Let's go to the next slide. And hopefully, next one again. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about three things in 15 minutes. That means I got 5 minutes on each. The first one is about the past. I'm going to do past, present, future, okay? I'm not going through those 10 alphabetically. And that's roughly what Paul does in this passage. First of all, he says there's a new history. Then he tells us there's a new identity. And then he tells us there's a new destiny. History is to do with the past, identity to do with the present, destiny to do with the future, okay? And he says, do you ever think about your past? Do you ever look back, you remember things you did, you wish you didn't do? There's things that you want to forget, you can't forget, but they are there. And you don't want to talk about them, you know? You just wish that you never did it, you wish you weren't there. Maybe something happened to you. You were abused, you were hurt. Something happened in your life, someone died. You lost some money, some big money. You failed an exam. You know, you can look back with regrets on the past. Paul says, if you want to look back and you want to know the truth about yourself, you have to look back further. Okay, we already referred to this in the worship. We were chosen in him, Paul says, before the creation of the world. It means before God said, let there be light, he knew your name. He wanted you. He knew. He planned. It tells us here, we've been chosen to be holy. And the word holy means to be devoted to God. He chose us that we should be devoted to him and that he would be devoted to us. When he says, you shall be holy, for I the Lord am holy, he's devoted to you. He's committed. When I married Liz, I was devoting my life to her and she to me. The tag on our wedding brochure was in holiness and honor because we did it publicly, we did it committing ourselves to one another, making a covenant. When we come to Jesus, he says, I've chosen you to be holy. I'm devoting myself to you and you to me. And it's not by accident. You don't slip into Christ by accident. Okay, we've been predestined to be adopted. We've got 4 children, Esther, Rebecca, Jacob, and Daniel. 2 girls, 2 boys. When we had 2 girls and 1 boy, that was really a good number because they all fit in the car and they all fit in the house. But there was a lady in the church who was working for the pregnancy, family planning, that's the word, family planning department in the local doctors. And she said to me and Liz, would you like to try this new fangled gadget? And we said, yeah, we tried it for a year. And on the last month, it was 1 day out and we conceived number 4. We didn't plan him. We want him. We love him. We had to buy a bigger car, okay? We had to change our lives. Sometimes people don't want their children. There are abandoned children. There are neglected children. But praise God, in the kingdom of God, there are no unwanted pregnancies. There are no unwanted children. There are no unloved kids in the kingdom of heaven. Your father might not love you. Your mother might not love you. Your brother or your sister or your pastor or your boss. But there is always one in heaven who loves you, who's totally committed to you, who will give you everything you need, who will bless you with every spiritual blessing. And he does it freely. It's by grace. Grace means you may not be the brightest kid in the class. You might not be the most athletic. You might not be the most handsome. You may not feel very positive as you evaluate your qualities in life. But God says, none of those things is the foundation. I don't look at your performance. I don't look at your abilities. I don't look at your looks. I don't compare you to others. I love you because I love you. You say, how does that work? He says, if you want to know why I love you, it's because I love you. And that is a wonderful thing to know, that you can never get to the bottom of God's love. It comes freely by his grace. Let's go to the next slide. Secondly, a new identity. In verse 6 or 7, Paul says, in him we have, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. I talked yesterday, I'm going to repeat this because I liked it. I'm going to talk about redemption because Jesus Christ came and died for us. The measure of the love of God can be seen not by our feelings, not by our bank balance. If you want to know how much God loves you, you must look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Because there, God gave his one and only Son to suffer and die for us. We were in the war memorial this morning. I was reminded of that verse, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the Bible tells us it's while we were his enemies that Jesus died for us. He goes so much further. He goes so much deeper. He, the King of heaven, who deserved the best. He, the one who never did anything wrong and deserved to be commended and to be blessed above all, was the one who got the worst treatment. He died so that we might live. He suffered so we might go free. He was cast out so we could be brought in. His blood was shed so our blood would not be shed. The Father turned his face away from him on the cross so that we would never know the absence of the Father's love. We redeemed by his blood. Now yesterday, Colin's son, where is he, Andrew, sitting at the back there, persuaded me to buy a new phone. And he persuaded me so well that I bought a new phone for my wife as well. It's a good deal. But it was a lot of money. And I've placed the order, and on Monday it will be delivered in Nassik, where we are going next. And it's got Edgar Nevis's name on, but I paid for it. And Edgar already sent me a message. Did you buy me a new phone? Thank you. I said, no, I did not buy you a new phone. I bought myself a new phone, and I bought my wife a new phone. It's our Christmas presents to each other. That means you've got to pay for mine. And when I get there, I want it. I'm not going to be indifferent. If it gets lost in the post, I'm going to get it. Why? Because I paid for it. When Jesus Christ died for you, he watches over you. He keeps you because he's redeemed you by his blood. You are not your own any longer. You've been bought with a price. You belong to him now. You are his prized, loved possession. You have been redeemed. This is why I can say with confidence, I will be his and he will be mine forever and ever. He's not going to casually say, I shed my blood for him, but if he doesn't make it, never mind. He is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And when one goes astray, there's 99 in the fold. He goes after it. He searches until he finds that sheep and puts it on his shoulder and brings it home rejoicing. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed. And secondly, we have been forgiven. Remember all those sins again. If you say you got no sin, you make God out to be a liar. The truth is not in you. But if you confess your sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. All our sins. We have forgiveness. There's no cloud that can separate us now between us and our Father in heaven. I said again yesterday, the gospel is the greatest deal in the universe. What do we contribute? We contribute our sin. If you want to get saved, that's what you have to do. Your side of the bargain is you come as you are, you bring your sin, you give it to God. What do you get in redemption? In return? You get forgiveness. It's crazy, isn't it? You bring your rubbish, you get his riches. You bring your wrongs, you get his righteousness. You bring your shame, and you get clothed with honor. Is more than forgiveness. But in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If you don't know that you're forgiven, if you're unsure, you will never know by trying to do enough. There's some people who say, I'm not ready to be baptized. I'm not ready to give my life to Jesus. I've got to sort this out. I've got to sort that out. You'll never do it. You'll never be ready. You must come as you are. If you've never come to Jesus, today is a great day to come. You say, I'm not ready. Good. Nobody's ever ready. Just come. Just come to him and give your life. You give your life, he gives you his life. What a great deal. It's better than a mobile phone. It's better than a free mobile phone. It's better than loads of free mobile phones. This is the life of God coming into us. This is the wonder of the glory of God. This is discovering the purpose for which you have been created. God giving us a new identity. So we can say, I am no longer an ordinary person. I'm not just an ordinary Christian. I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm adopted, I'm accepted. I've got a place in the Father's heart. He will never leave me. He will be with me forever, and I will be with him forever. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. And then, well, we say the best is yet to be, because thirdly, we have a new destiny. We've got lots to look forward to. In this passage, Paul says, we, in verse 11, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan. God's got a plan. He has a plan for your life. It's not just here and now. It's not just the church in Pune the next year. How many people are going to come? How many people are going to go? It's not a 5-year plan. It's not a 20-year plan or a 30-year plan. It's an eternal plan. What does it look like? Well, it tells us here in this verse 11 that God works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. In other words, he's maneuvering things. He's preparing things. He's getting things ready, and he's getting you ready. What for? Well, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. What's his purpose? Go back to verse 10. His purpose, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, so it's not yet, is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. There is a day coming when Jesus Christ will return from heaven. Nobody knows the time. I don't know. Nobody knows. If anybody tells you they know, they're wrong. Okay? Even if they're right, God has not told them. It's a secret. Jesus says when he was on earth, even the Son did not know. Bit of a mystery that. But it's ticking away. God's time clock is ticking away. There will come a time when the trumpet shall sound, when the Lord shall descend, when his people shall rise, when the dead shall be raised, and we shall be with him together forever. And in this passage, I think it's verse 13, Paul says, we have been marked, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Greek, the word for seal is the word arabone. And in modern Greek, it means an engagement ring. It's that God has put his engagement ring on our hearts. When we believe, we receive the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first fruits. It's like the appetizer, what we experience here of his love, of his assurance, of his forgiveness, of his deliverance, of his revelation of his purposes, is just the beginning. It's the engagement ring. We love in England royal weddings. Okay, we had a royal wedding. Was it this year? Yeah, it was this year. How many of you watched our royal wedding? Okay, some of you did. Did you like it? You know. Well, Liz went shopping during the royal wedding, and I sat in a pub, and I watched the royal wedding. I was sat in a pub in England, and there were big screen TVs that normally show sports. And there were people in there drinking and having a meal and so on. And there was no music playing. It was just, there was an American guy, wasn't he, preaching, black guy, preaching the gospel. His biggest preach ever. I think it was over 2 billion people saw that service and heard that preach. I'd like to have gone to that wedding, but I wasn't invited. There have been several royal weddings. Charles and Diana got married 10 days before us. I didn't get an invite. Okay, I watched it on the TV, but I never got an invite. But this passage is telling us that we have been included. When we believed the gospel, how did you get in? You believed the gospel. What happened? Somehow, as you were listening to the good news about Jesus dying, the penny dropped. The moment came. You began to realize, he died for me. For me. He did that with me in mind. Wow. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my sin. You're mine. I'm yours. Please, come into my life. And he came. And he changed everything. And he says, there's a royal wedding on the way. This actually is the royal wedding of royal weddings. This is the goal and the romance of the ages. Jesus and his church. And you have been invited. But you are not a spectator. You are a participant. Even the men get to be the bride on that day. I don't know how you feel about that, guys. But we are part of this glorious bride of Christ that he is longing with a passion like no other passion. When we speak about the passion of Christ, we think about his death. But his death is the issue of his love, his desire for his people. And in India, there are many people that he has yet to win. That is our call. That is our destiny. Let's go. A few application points. Let's skip that one. Application number one. Let our praise to God be in truth as well in spirit. It's a complicated sentence. Some of our worship songs are complicated because they engage with theological truth, biblical truth, eternal truth, stuff that doesn't just, it's not easy. All that predestination, how that grace works, how redemption works, how forgiveness works, how the Holy Spirit works. They're things for us to ponder and to reflect on. But let's not just get caught up with emotion. Let's also be a people who think. Augustine says a Christian is someone who believes in thinking and thinks in believing. And we're to be like that. We're to be men and women who are educated and grow up as Christians. Many of you will have studied. Many of you have degrees. Don't be infants when it comes to the deep things of God. Go deeper. Get on the training course that Colin runs. Study the Bible. Memorize scripture. Commit yourself to it. Secondly, let our praise neutralize our pride. Whatever good things you do in life, let it be remembered that everything you have is a gift of God. Everything. Every good thing I've ever done is because God has enabled me. I've got no reason to be proud. But I have done some good things. But instead of becoming proud, I can convert it into praise. Praise God that he has blessed us. He who blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Somehow, when we praise God for what he's done and what he's done in us and what he's done through us, it just injects a note of humility and it changes our character. Number three, let our praise be Trinitarian. It's the Father who has blessed us. It's Christ who has died for us. It's the Holy Spirit who has sealed us. The Father is for you. The Son is for you. The Spirit is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Let our praise be passionate. Oh, I think I'm getting a bit passionate. Okay. Let our praise be enthusiastic. Navaz was urging us to make some noise. We are conquerors. We are warriors. We are in Christ. Let's shout. Let's praise. Let's sing. Let's dance. Let's put our energy into what we do. Let it be passionate. Let it be joyful. And let our praise be full of hope and confidence. Confident expectation. The church of God, the bride of Christ, is the very reason for which God created the world. There's nothing bigger. There's nothing better. There's nothing more glorious than you folks. Because you are the ones. You are his beloved. You are his chosen ones. You are his called ones. And one day, he's going to gather you. And you are going to represent your nations and your languages. You're going to be gathered with a crowd of people that's so big that nobody is able to count it. They're going to come from every nation and every tribe and every language and every people group. They're going to come from Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. They're going to come from North and South America. They're going to come from the Antarctic and the Arctic. Did I get that the right way around? North and South. They're going to come from Australasia, from all the nations of Asia. They're going to come from the most remote and unlikely places. It's going to happen, folks. We're going to be there. Let's stand. Let's just ask God to pour out his Spirit upon us today. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you so much for our fellowship in the gospel and this reminder that we are not just ordinary people. Lord, because of your extraordinary love, because of your amazing grace, we thank you, Lord, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that is so much more than a pardon. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't just make us slaves. Thank you, you made us beloved children. Thank you, you want each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that those circumstances may be hard. We have been blessed with all the resources that we need to get through it. Lord, I pray for that confidence, for that increase of joy. I pray for that hope that comes from the knowledge of the truth that will set our hearts ablaze. So though we be in prison like Paul when he penned this sentence, first of all, Lord, although many may lament to be in such circumstances, our hearts will rise and sing for joy. Though we be young, though we be old, we look forward, Lord, to all that you will do with us, all that you will do through us to extend your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.